Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Locked On Wolves.
I don't know if I want to be here anymore.
Where I am joined by City Pages and a Wolf Among Wolves contributor, Tim Fakeless. To my left, Tom Schreier, actually producing.
I'm producing today.
Making himself useful, and he will be useful in that you finally watched. No, well, you watched 3 quarters, so you're good. The 3 important quarters.
Yeah, yeah.
Last night, 112-105 loss to the Washington Wizards. But, Tim, about last night.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Tom, hold on a second.
Did you ever see the movie The Hangover?
I did. It's a good movie.
The Hangover, Dinkytown.
Well,
What happened?
If that's the case, I was the dude that got left up on the roof. Because I was fine. You, on the other hand.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I was, After reading Zach LaVine's stat line, 3 of 14 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3-point range, negative 18 in terms of plus-minus, 8 points, probably his worst game in recent memory.
Well, way to loop that back into the game.
This is coming after John Meyer wrote a nice long feature about Zach LaVine and his improvement over at KansasHoopas.com. Timely, John Meyer. You really cursed him, Tim. I don't know where to start. First of all,
you're all over the place, man.
Go to coldomaha.com. Go to the Facebook page, Cold Omaha. Search Cold Omaha on Facebook, and check out the Facebook live video that we recorded.
It's pretty amazing.
Because we were supposed to do this. The current time is 12:28
Central.
Producer, co-founder of Cold Omaha, my boss. Editor-in-chief, as of now, told me to be here at 11:15 to do the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I got to do a live read for, what is it?
this guy doesn't
don't
know
look
his
at
ads.
Me. I'm just a contributor, man.
We can do this later. Continue.
We'll do it later. I'll bring it up. Yeah, Tim, about last night, where do you want to go?
Hey, you lead this bad boy. That last night was your night.
Long story short, I ran into a bunch of my little sister's high school friends at the bar last night.
What?
To be clear, they're not in high school.
They're not in high school. They are now older and old enough to be at the bar.
His sister's friends that she knew when they were in high school, they are now in college.
Good distinction.
Yeah, and to end the long story, I'm expecting an angry phone call from my sister at any moment. Oh, dear. Okay, back to basketball.
Oh, no. Well, okay.
We're wiring her through the system, by the way, if she calls during the show.
Okay.
It goes live.
That's fine. I'll text her the number for the studio. okay, so let's rope this back into the Wolves-centric theme.
We're not going to talk about... Oh, sorry. Continue.
No,
I think I know where this is going.
We're
going
to talk about how I came home.
Yep.
Where Tim Fakeless is located. Spent the night at my house last night.
Hey.
He wasn't the only one.
Oh.
Hey, hey.
I have questions.
I'm glad this is going on the air.
And, apparently, well.
Oh, do you want me to tell the story?
I don't remember it.
So. Okay. Well, around 2 o'clock, I receive a text message. I will be home soon. Oh, wait, I'm pulling it up.
I love how this is.
And then I just give him the thumbs up emoji, and I get five texts in a row. So many stories. So many stories. I get downstairs.
God.
Grab him, bring him upstairs, and you're kind of walking around. I go back into bed, and I hear through the wall in your room.
I was watching a replay of the game, doing film.
Okay, story. I'll give some. I'm gonna give some background before I continue. Kevin Lynch is a Timberwolves analyst who is hold on is a Timberwolves analyst on Fox Sports North. who has been historically critical of one Ricky Rubio. Last night...
We're going to get to the Jim Suhan column later.
Last, oh, yes, we are. Last night, as I'm trying to fall back asleep, I hear...
Fall back asleep.
I hear, Ricky Rubio! Should I? Can I curse on Lockdown?
Go,
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, this might turn into Wolves Wired at some point. I don't know.
Ricky Rubio must have... That is the only explanation.
Oh, my
and
God.
And then he just keeps going and going and going and going, and I start laughing. And then...
Doing film study.
Well, I was watching the broadcast. Kevin Lynch is on the pregame show.
Yeah, I know. I know.
And,
I
of course, he's probably... Was he ripping Rubio?
I don't recall.
Fair enough.
He must
At any
been.
Rate...
Jim Suhan ripped Ricky Rubio. Did you read the column?
No, I read the headline... Quote tweeted, said no, and left it.
He read the column.
I read the headline and was like, yep, of course he ripped Rubio.
I think
I probably should have read it. My bad.
Andy Grimsrud, a punch drunk wolf, Wolves called it the annual Suhan hit on Rubio.
It's just so weird what these columnists choose to pick on or whatever. I mean, anyone, you guys watch the Wolves all the time. I watch them quite a bit. Dunn is not ready to be the point guard. I mean, that's as simple as that, but whatever.
What was Dunn's stat line last night? Oh, and by the way, a Brandon Rush sighting.
Yeah, yeah. I saw, again, another play. Andy Grimsrud shout. He said something along the lines of, is Brandon Rush finally healthy, or did Thibodeau just remember that he signed Brandon Rush?
He's like, wait, who are you? Why are you in the bench?
Oh, shit, we have Brandon Rush on our team. Oh, get in there. You can shoot a little.
That's pretty good. Brandon Rush finishes with 10 points on a perfect 4-4 shooting, 2 of 2 from behind the three-point line. Team high, positive 8.
Yeah.
Who knew? 19 minutes, 37 seconds.
I bet
seconds
he plays tonight.
Playing, time. Playing tonight against the Utah Jazz. Shouts to David Locke, founder of the Locked On Podcast Network.
He's proud of you right
Sorry
now.
Sorry about this, David. I don't know you, but
my
damn.
Other podcast. Where are we at minute-wise?
We are at 8 minutes from when I started recording.
Oh. Oh. So in,
FYI.
In actuality.
So, and we're about 45 seconds of real Wolves content.
Oh, dear.
Go on. What's your thought?
Hold on. I don't have a thought right now. I'm trying to... Will you timestamp where we're at right now?
Yeah. Good God.
So if you're looking to go to Wolves Jazz tonight, be sure to find your tickets on SeatGeek. SeatGeek is... I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. Tim, why are you looking at me like that? Tim's not used to me doing live reads because we do the Wolves Wired podcast.
Yep.
We don't have live reads on the Wolves Wired podcast.
One day, maybe.
Anyway, SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek compares all of the prices from the different ticket websites, aggregates them in an easy to read format. It helps SeatGeek helps you get the most bang for your buck. It's why every ticket is given a grade based on value. You will, when you're browsing the SeatGeek app, immediately see any underpriced seats, be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. Guaranteed. The best part, Timmy, are you ready for the best part?
I've been waiting for the best part since I woke up this morning.
Listeners, God bless their souls. To the Locked On Wolves podcast, we'll get a $20 rebate on their first SeatGeek purchase.
Oh my gosh.
Heck yeah. So here's what you do to get that rebate. Download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab and click add
Wait,
a promo.
Slow down. I'm writing this down.
Go to the SeatGeek app. You will download it and then go to it.
Uh-huh.
Then go to the settings tab.
Mm-hmm.
Click add a promo code.
Add a promo code.
Enter the promo code. Timmy, do you know what the promo code is?
I'm waiting to write it down
L-O-Wolves.
Wolves.
Locked On Wolves.
Oh, wow, what? That's clever.
We really put that together. SeatGeek will then send you a $20, but only after you've made your first purchase. So Upper Deck Wolves seats, what are they? One seat. Timmy, your parents got season tickets.
Yeah, and so they're not messing with upper level seats.
All right, well,
they're above
that. If you want to sit in the upper level,
I'm sure
it's
like $15.
$5.
Bingo.
Sure.
Grab a date. Pay for her ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Get $20 back, so you're really only paying for your ticket to go to the Wolves game.
Da-da.
Anyway, yeah, that was...
So your date's like, why am I here? And you're like, because I wanted a free seat.
Why are the police suddenly stuck in my head?
I don't get that. Why are the police stuck in your head? Oh, my God.
You mentioned bringing a date.
It took me a little bit. Oh, my goodness. So, there was a play in last night's game near the end. A breakdown in defense. This is when shit really went awry. It was 108-105. Washington had the ball. It was Gortat. He was setting a high pin down near the elbow. Zach LaVine's trying to guard Bradley Beal. Gortat sets a high pin down at the elbow. Beal runs around to the arc as he had been doing all game. Beal finished with 22 points on 5 of 7 three-point shooting. Zach LaVine, tough to defend him. Had a bad foul call at the end, but whatever. That's not the story I'm telling. Gorgie Jang steps out to try to, you know, defend a would-be shot from Bradley Beal had he gotten the ball, but John Wall threw an alley-oop pass to Marcin Gortat. Gortat caught it, laid it in, all in one fluid motion in the air, and the Wizards went up 105-110, or 110-105, and that was basically the end of it. So, Tommy, any lasting thoughts on last night's game?
To be clear, because I don't know a bunch about the Wizards, they're not very good, right?
Well, I mean,
they're fine.
They're okay.
Wall's good. Beal's good.
They're
like a playoff
perpetually
team.
Underachieving. They're 17-18 right now.
They'll make the playoffs and they'll get ousted in the first or second round.
Yeah, they're ninth in the Eastern Conference, but the Bulls, I don't think they'll make it, and the Bulls are 18-18. The Pacers, who knows what they got going on? But
I thought the Pacers are going to be really good.
They've won four in a row, so
like really good by Eastern Conference standards.
So I mean, believe in Nate McMillan, huh?
No, I thought they got Al Jefferson, they got Jeff Teague, they had healthy Paul George. They're a good team. I just thought that they were going to be better than they are. It's a bummer.
All right.
Although trading George Hill was idiotic.
Good for Utah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyways, this is another one of those games, though. Wiggins, 41 points. Team loses, right? And outside of that one Charlotte game, I think it's another game where you have one player who really stood out. Doesn't matter, right? Towns going to have 47 and 17 or 18. What was that against New York? They lost that game. You know, LaVine can go off for 40 points. They'll lose that game. Unless they really get something from all three or something from the bench. Now, Rush, he said, was +8 and 10 points, but they're not going to win, and I don't think the Wizards are that good. This is a team that they should beat, right? And it was really the fourth quarter that they fell apart in this game. I mean, they didn't.
They won the third quarter,
yeah, like 37-24.
Wolves did?
Yeah.
Yeah, and not only that, but they, going into that third quarter, it looked like another one of those like precipitous falls, and then they kind of just recovered, and they're like, we're fine, only to push it off into the fourth quarter. So they're still that frustrating team that since the beginning of the season, in the preseason, Tom Thibodeau has said, we need to be a 48-minute team. They're not there yet. But, yeah, they tend not to win if there's one player that's really good. And it's, I don't think Wiggins was hogging possessions or anything. He was the hottest player there. But unless you get more out of, I mean, Towns at 18 points. But out of someone like LaVine, 8 points, you're not going to, you know, not going to win the game. That's kind of how it was.
Timmy?
That play you described reminded or just sounded like a Warriors-ish Draymond Green play. When he's got the ball at the top, he got the shooters around him, he drives, they collapse, and then suddenly this is last year, keep in mind, then Andrew Bogut's dunking it.
This year it's
Festus Ezeli's dunking it.
JaVale McGee.
Or JaVale McGee's falling on his butt and messing up. By the way, did you see the Warriors blew a 24-point lead last night?
No.
Wow. Sure did.
He also blew a 3-1 lead.
I hadn't heard about that.
What?
No way.
So this is a game Tyus Jones should have gotten some playing time, right?
Chalk it up to the list of games where Tyus Jones should have gotten
playing time.
But he
didn't play
time.
At all.
Well, he never plays. Ever.
Chris Dunn was, I'm looking, 0 points.
Well, he only took one shot, which is fine.
Yeah. No.
Tom Thibodeau is not going to bench his number 5 overall pick for a late first round pick that he did not draft, especially in his first year as a GM. He's not benching his number 5 overall pick.
I mean, he I said this on another lockdown, but he's coaching as president right now, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
he's seeing what he can get out of his main cogs, I suppose.
Is that wrong? I mean, do you think that he should be benching these guys and playing some veterans who might not have a future, but just to send a message? I mean,
he's got a 5-year deal. I suppose it's not wrong. Why hurry up and win when you could totally ruin it and in year 4 be fired by Glenn Taylor?
I agree
in theory, but the conversation that I thought was intriguing was again, Andy Grimsrud, thank you for
putting we're up, just putting this is the Andy Grimsrud podcast.
We should invite him on as a guest.
Coming soon to the Lockdown Podcast Network, Andy Grimsrud podcast. I said I'll just pull it up at some point. Criticism of Wiggins is fair, but you know, watching last night, he's obviously a very good player, but he took 16 long twos last night. 16. Is that too many?
Was Sam Mitchell at the game whispering to Wiggins?
Can't rule it out. No, he's Toronto Sports Network now. He's become a
right.
pedestrian. Ironically enough.
The media that he hates? He's become the media that he hates? Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
I would love to see him interview like one of the Wolves players and for that player to just be like, guys. or better yet, bring on one of like the local Wolves media members. For, you know,
it's Kent Youngblood.
Yeah.
Guys.
Hey, you should go to the Wolves Radio SoundCloud and pull up some Thibodeau audio from today.
You want me to do this right now?
Yeah, do it right now.
All right.
The people still listening are going to continue listening.
You are really pushing
that's
it.
That's the
though.
Hope.
That's what you, this is what you're pushing now.
This is the last ever Locked On Wolves podcast hosted by Zach Pitts.
Zach, think some thoughts.
If it makes you feel any better, they're definitely not calling me to take over for you after this podcast.
What do you want for the post game?
Tom Thibodeau, obviously.
All right.
This one before with the late comeback that just falls short.
Shouts to Marty Gellner.
Well,
I watched this live.
We're finding different ways to do it, so disappointing.
Washington,
were you at least pleased with the third quarter and the way that they found a way to rally back?
No. Yeah, I mean, you got to find a way to win. That's the bottom line. So had the lead going into the fourth. They go 9-0 to start the fourth. And we didn't play defense all night, so...
How much did John Wall hurt you, do you feel like, just with his playmaking?
It killed us. You know, 18 assists, you know, pushed the ball, made plays. So, you know, it only takes one guy to jog back, and then that crushes you. So,
yeah, turn it down.
What does it take for the next step?
Part of how Washington got a lead is that Karl-Anthony Towns and Gorgui Dieng, on a possession with a little under 2 minutes to play, were in pursuit of an offensive rebound, and they didn't get that offensive rebound. And John Wall got it, sprinted up the floor in transition, as John Wall is one to do. And, you know, despite the fact that I thought Ricky Rubio played pretty admirable defense on John Wall, which isn't anything new, it was a very impressive drive through the lane and transition and a finish by John Wall, and he does the whole bit where he pounds his chest and screams at the crowd, and, you know, fat white guy in the front row screams back at him and pounds his chest. I mean, it was quite the sight to see. I thought it was good defense by Rubio, but that's the type of possession that Tom Thibodeau is saying, or the type of instance that's saying, all it takes is one guy to jog back, and in this situation, the Wolves lost their two supposed rim protectors, at least in that lineup, because they pursued an offensive rebound. And I get that's what they do, and I get that the Wolves are a top five team in terms of offensive rebounding, but is it really worth sending that many guys at the rim if you're just going to give up points in transition? And the Wolves have been one of the most horrible defensive transition teams in the league
this season. One thing I noticed too is sometimes they get stifled in the half-court offense, and I feel like they're just hesitant to push the tempo or push anything because they know even if they could score more, like kind of in the wild run-and-gun offense, they'll just get killed defensively. I mean, is that a fair observation?
Yeah, I think they want to run more based only on the amount of times I've heard Thibodeau yell, go, or run.
Tom Thibodeau is the living embodiment of a dude that wants real life to be NBA 2K. Like, he tries to do everything. Post, go to work, go to work,
roll,
screen,
roll.
Pop.
And there is no other coach like that, right?
Not that I've seen.
Not that I've heard. I mean, Brad Stevens is a possession micromanager. Like, there's a couple clips that somebody on Twitter puts out there from time to time that, you know, he demands to run a certain pick and roll to get certain guys and switches and get a matchup he likes, often using Jay Crowder. But he's more the studious academic possession right. Laker manager.
Dwayne Casey does a little bit of that on offense too. He's not quite as much as Tibbs or even Stevens, but he's up there as far as guys that you will hear screaming throughout the game.
So do you think this creates a lack of focus because these guys have to be almost like hyper-focused because they're being micromanaged, and this relates a little bit to their inability to play a full game, 48 minutes?
Ask the question again. I zoned out.
So because he's micromanaging the possessions and because he has all these instructions in a very complex system, do you think this is a direct correlation to the team's inability to play a full 48-minute game?
I zoned out again.
Okay. I don't think so. Only because I don't think that a coach that wouldn't micromanage would get any more out of this team currently. Like last year with Sam Mitchell or the year before with Flip Saunders, it's not like a micromanaging system would have gotten them any more results or gotten them to play a more consistent game. It's just, and it's been worn out, but youth is a huge part of it. And just knowing how to do it. Because if you haven't done it before, you've got to learn how to do it, and they're still getting there. So honestly, the micromanaging might get them there, because eventually they're not going to need it, which I'm assuming is what, even though Tibbs is going to continue to do it, something that he wants. He doesn't want to have to tell them what to do.
Once they learn, it won't be micromanaging, right?
Right.
And I think...
Then it'll just be Tibbs screaming for himself.
And
just yelling at fans. Like, yeah. Quiet down over there!
And arguing calls. I think it's important to look at the opposite end of the spectrum, too. As Tim brought up with Flip Saunders and Sam Mitchell, they weren't valuing possessions enough. It was just like, roll the balls out and go play.
Yeah.
And that does more hurt than micromanaging does, for sure. And in my defense, I know I'm a Space K, Space Cadet. Any other nicknames for spacey people you got?
I spaced.
Sorry, what were you saying?
All of a sudden, I have the police stuck in my head. That was very good. That was very meta.
Yeah. Inside joke.
I'm reading. I'll get to the inside joke in a minute. Should tell the listeners. We could do it justice.
It's not like they're
going
to
listen. Wolves received a 90-minute tour of the White House that included a visit with President Obama during one of their 2 days between games in Philadelphia and Washington. And the commander-in-chief of the free world, writes Jerry Zagota, for the next 2 weeks anyway, offered them a scouting report of themselves. When asked what President Obama had to say, Ricky Rubio said with a grin, he said, "We've got to play better defense." So Obama thinks the Wolves should play better defense. That's how you know it's real.
If he would have said transition defense, I would have lost my mind.
He didn't mention third quarter, right?
No. He would have been a couple. Obama doesn't stay behind on narratives. He knows what he's doing. He's got people in his ear. He might follow Tim Fakeless on Twitter.
Wow.
No.
No.
Right. I mean, I wish that would be a dream come true.
The whole inside joke bit is because I am in pursuit of a girl named Roxanne.
Ah, yeah.
Well, yeah. The pursuit has been successful before.
Roxanne!
We definitely had a jazz version of that song a few weeks ago.
Oh, God.
The Wolves play the Jazz tonight. Timmy, what are you looking for tonight's game? Tom, you're covering it for me. I got the night off.
It's true.
You know what I'm looking for. This is my favorite team.
Jazz?
We've gone over this. They have, like, all of my guys. They've got George Hill. They've got Rodney Hood. They've got Gordon Hayward. They've got Rudy Gobert, Derek Favors, Joe Ingles, my boy. Who am I missing? I'm not as big on Boris Diaw as some people, but he's cool.
I love me some Boris. You two should drink coffee together sometime.
Oh, he's an espresso man. I'm a sissy in his eyes.
Oh, okay. I'm sure I am too.
My question here is that in some ways you feel like you wish you could just fast forward the season, right? Because you kind of know, unless they really make strides at the end of the season, what this is going to look like throughout the year, given how many games they played and how many look similar. Would you rather be a Minnesota Timberwolves fan right now, knowing you have upside, or a Utah fan, knowing that this team could win right now, is well constructed? Seems
Can
well
I
coached.
Add a third team to the question and then
yes.
pose it to Tim?
Yep.
Or would you rather be a fan of the Dallas Mavericks?
Over the them or the Wolves?
Wolves, Jazz, or Dallas Mavericks fan. Which would you rather
Mavericks be? Are last, if you're talking currently. I guess historically they have a ring.
Yeah,
but
that's true. You would feel differently. But the Wolves and Mavs are tied for the bottom of the Western Conference.
I guess, well, if you put it... I would probably take the Mavs just because in my like youth, I would have experienced a championship, and that would be great.
Okay, so pretend the past doesn't happen.
Okay, right now?
Yeah.
Wolves.
Cool.
I think the Jazz are going to be awesome in a few years. I still question how far they can go. Like, one of their young guys, Hood, Hayward, Gobert, someone's going to have to take another step for them to be an actual title contender in my mind, but I think they're going to be very good. I just don't know how good. And their guys are, their core is a little bit older than the Wolves, whereas, like, I think the best player between both teams is probably Towns, and that's pretty scary.
Who's the second best?
Wiggins. Or Levine.
Hayward.
Oh, between
the Jazz and the Wolves. I'd say Towns is the best player between those two teams. Yeah, Hayward's probably second.
Wiggins cracked the top three or no?
He would be.
Probably.
I mean, George Hill is just so good.
Hill's awesome. So Gobert's awesome. I just love that team. Because then they have a bunch of guys that are really good, but not like all-stars. It's hard to explain.
I get the essence of Tom's question, though. Would you rather be stuck in perpetual mediocrity if you're the Jazz? Because, you know, Jazz aren't winning the finals.
No, they're going to be, like, at best, they'll be like one of those Nuggets-Hornets teams from the mid-2000s that make the conference finals.
The 09 Nuggets.
I don't think, there's always going to be a team with a couple, like, Hall of Famers that's going to beat them. Hopefully, one day that's the Wolves with Towns, Wiggins, Levine. Some combo of that. But the Jazz are going to be awesome, but I feel like their best case is 57 wins and the conference finals. Something like that.
God, I'm reading the Suhan column now. David Kahn also chose Ricky Rubio over Curry and DeMar DeRozan. Really?
Wait. Okay. No. That's infuriating, not just because he's talking about who he took Rubio over. Rubio was the projected number two or number one overall pick that whole draft. And then he dropped because he didn't want to go to Memphis. And then the picks three and four, or at least pick three, who was that? James Harden, I think?
Yeah. Because it was
after pick two, people were worried about his buyout and how he wouldn't be able to come over right away. People thought he was still going to go to Sacramento at four, but then they took Tyreke Evans. The only reason he fell to five was the buyout and that he didn't want to go to Memphis. That's it.
So what you're saying is Rubio doesn't obstruct the Wolves' progress.
What I'm saying is, generally speaking, not always, but generally speaking, local all sports writers irritate the hell out of me with their opinion columns.
Well, no, I mean,
and not always, but sometimes.
No, but it often is simplicity as the best player on the team is the issue, and now he's not blaming Towns, but he's blaming the longest tenured player who's also polarizing. So you know you'll get attention by writing that. It's just,
yeah.
And I genuinely think he's not a Rubio fan. I've listened to him and Krasinski go back and forth on their podcast, and Krasinski is very pro Rubio, and I think, and at the same time, critical of him, and Suhan, and there's a lot of other people out there just don't like a basketball player that can't shoot, which is a rational thought. It's just, then are you just turning over the point guard spot to Tyus and Dunn? Dunn has the same issue. He doesn't shoot very well. He also, Britt said this 100 times on his podcast, he will not surprise you with a pass. It's not like he understands the offense so well that he, you know, you think of Wall the other night. Well, you guys don't watch the game. Wall was throwing.
What are you talking about?
Or no, you watched the film study late at night, whatever.
Yeah, and waiting to record this podcast. I definitely watched the game.
My bad.
He was watching.
My bad.
I was not.
Okay, so you noticed this, though. Wall threw some passes no one saw coming, right? Often to Gortat, but.
Oh, and by the way, here's a nugget. It's his fifth 15-plus point, 15-plus assist game since 09, and he ranks fifth in since that time in players to accomplish that feat.
You understand what I'm saying. Rubio will throw passes still to this day when everyone knows he's a great passer and a bad shooter that thread needles that come out of nowhere that spur the offense on. And Chris Dunn is not there yet, and he may get there. I think he can learn to shoot. I think he can learn the offense. I like him defensively. I like just the build and the size he is. But Chris Dunn is not your everyday starting point guard right now. He may be one day. He is not right now. Until then, why not wait until the end of the season when you know when you're drafting, and you maybe try to package Shabazz Rubio in the pick for a really good player?
Shabazz is doubtful tonight with illness.
And that's why Brandon Rush is playing, right? More?
Hopefully. Can you mix up the starting lineup? And if so, okay, so Tim.
He loves that lineup.
If you had to mix it up, though, The Wolves starting five, again, much like last year, has played more minutes than any other starting five in the NBA. Tim, if you had to make one change in the starting lineup, assume in a vacuum, everybody's healthy,
sure,
et cetera, et cetera, what's the change you make?
Bielitsa for Gorgui Dieng. I'll tell you one that I despise, not despise, but one that's been tossed around that I would never do is Bielitsa at the three. The idea of him guarding most NBA
Gordon
threes
Hayward.
Is terrifying to me.
Gordon Hayward, yeah.
Yeah. Just look at the list of guys he'd have to guard if he was the starting small forward. Let's put him up against
Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler, Paul George, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Gordon Hayward. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. It's not a terrible idea. It's a bad idea. I don't know why it's so popular. I think it's because he has size.
It's because they did it twice. They did it against Charlotte.
And they won one of those games.
Yeah.
No, they won Charlotte, and Bielitsa had, I think, a season-high 24 points. Couldn't you have, on offense, Wiggins be the two and Bielitsa be the three and then switch that on defense and make it work?
No, you don't.
Because then he's guarding the two.
Yeah, that'd be some trouble.
Yeah.
Bielitsa, I mean, the only thing I like about that is you have LaVine playing with the bench guys, which he has traditionally played.
He already does that anyway. Oftentimes, Shabazz comes off the bench first. LaVine leaves the game, and by the time the whole bench unit is in, for the most part, LaVine is back in with the bench. So he still starts, but he also plays with the bench. I like Gorgui coming off the bench because they're big man rotation off the bench. Cole Aldridge has been fine defensively, and he takes good shots, but they need a revamp off the bench. And if you're talking about just a switch to the starting lineup, think of the floor spacing Rubio would have, or Towns would have, or however you want to phrase that, in that starting lineup with basically four guys that can hit threes in that starting five.
I have a thought.
Go on.
Cole Aldridge over Gorgui Dieng.
Not opposed.
Right?
It's not a bad idea.
Don't you get better? You get better rim protection. You're not putting Gorgui Dieng in a position where he's playing against overpowering five. You don't have to play Cole for the majority of the game, but you just start him.
You play him. This is a historical reference now. The year the Wolves went to the conference finals, they started Irvin Johnson. He played the first few minutes of the first quarter and then the first few minutes of the third quarter, and that was it.
That's like the KG role under Sam, right? Kind of.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, similar. That would be a more...
He would come in, get some offensive boards, play some good defense, and then he was done. Michael Olakande, Mark Madsen, Gary Trent would play.
So
you like that idea, huh?
Yes, I do. I think that's a good idea.
And then you have Gorgui playing with the bench guys.
With Bielitsa.
And if you're having LaVine continue to play a lot of minutes with the bench guys, you have Zach LaVine and Gorgui Dieng playing together with the bench guys, and those guys have good chemistry.
Yeah. I like it.
Call up, dude, when you go to Tibbs pregame availability, you just drop a note in the suggestion box.
You think I can do that?
Have you seen
it? Have you considered Cole Aldridge starting over Gorgui Dieng?
Just briefly.
I dare you to ask that question.
I'll give you $1
if you
ask that question.
You know what, though? Britt asked a similar question, and I can't remember what game it was. Regarding matchups, I really wish I could. I think it might have been the Clippers game or something like that in order to contain Blake Griffin. And Tibbs does that's a good question. However, I will not answer it.
Yeah, he's very good at it. That's an excellent question. Anyway,
yeah.
What else do you got?
Which is fine. I mean, he doesn't want to give away strategy, and at least it's not the Sam Mitchell. These guys scout the pregame. Remember that? He's like, these guys scout the pregame.
When I asked the question, I asked.
He does it to everyone. He did it to everyone.
I asked what triggers dribble handoff action between LaVine and Gorgui Dieng. Like, is it just a reset because you don't like. Yeah, I didn't say this. I didn't add these amendments.
But it was implied.
It was like the answers that I could have received are as follows. They just don't like the positioning on where the screen was or where both of them were on the court. Like there are a lot of there's some minutia that you can get into, I felt like, and Sam's like, I read the blogs. I see what's going on.
Oh God, I remember that.
And it's like, dude, Sam, they have scouts who scout this on film, much more knowledgeable than I am. Anything that I could write has already been scouted by an opponent's staff.
We shouldn't linger on Sam. I did Just because I want to forget about that. But
are you excited to come back and do this tomorrow, Tom?
I am, because I think I'll have some stuff to talk about. I am kind of prepping for a halfway point column and a couple questions I have for you guys, because we're 36 games in, right? And I'm trying to gather things right kind of up to the 41 game point.
You and me both. For different sites. Yeah. Sorry, Cold Omaha. I don't write.
Yeah,
for
Tim's
you.
Gonna.
That's fine.
Tim's
we're plug bummed. His I like Wolf Among Wolves, and it is getting like shoutouts now, and at least Britt talks about it all the time. But
yeah, it's not a new thing.
Right. I'm just saying. Yeah. It's nice to get shoutouts.
We're happy for you, Tim.
I didn't say anything.
Roxanne.
God damn it.
This is what we've been doing since the last time you were on a podcast with us. It's a disaster.
I've been listening. I enjoy the spike, though.
All right, continue. Sorry, Tom.
Yeah, 36 games in. Do you think you're going to see anything different in the second half of the season? In terms of, will they play 48 minutes? In terms of rotations? In terms of player improvement?
I think
we'll see an injury.
Continue. Oh, that's not fair.
You're a grim reaper.
Sorry, cynical Zach. Anyway, Tim, go.
I think it's gotten progressively... slowly but progressively better this
sure.
season, and I think it will continue to be a slow but progressive improvement. They'll win around the amount of games that I think most realistic people, I was not one of them,
40 assume. Wins, or are you talking 30?
Mid-30s, something around there. Nothing insane, nothing that people would get excited about, but improvement nonetheless. But I don't know. This just, like, I think at one point they're going to win a string of games that are going to get people really excited, and then they're going to come back down to earth a little bit.
So, second question, is it better for this team to finish strong, sneak
yes.
in
the, I know the second part of
sneak
your
into
answer.
The playoffs,
sneak into the eighth spot and just get wanked?
I'm not doing draft study. I'm telling you, I'm not studying prospects.
That's my question.
I don't want. Yeah, I knew where you were. I smelled what you were stepping.
I had a long discussion with Britt and Andy Grimsrud. God, we keep mentioning Andy.
Have him on. Guess.
Yeah, we Britt, should just call Andy.
Talk to Britt after, tonight. Tell him to come on tomorrow
after a game.
I'll call him
recently.
Right now.
No, text, hold on, man.
Text him. Text him.
A
and
couple,
I'll talk to him
a
tonight.
Couple weeks ago, we were talking about it. Britt is on board with like. He's not suggesting tanking, but it sounded like he'd rather have the pick than making the playoffs and getting rocked. I disagreed. I think Andy disagreed as well.
Here's my strongest argument. Beyond the player development side, which is important, Zach, I'm sure you're going to jump out of your skin here, but it's going to put people in the seats because you always see the results from the season before reflected in the next season. And I think actually you would start to see season ticket holders pick up, and maybe not 18,000, 19,000, but I think you'd see 16,000, 17,000 in the building next year if they went to the playoffs.
My argument for that would be they finished last year strong and they came out slow this year. That's the only thing I'd say.
Yeah,
they didn't make
that's
the playoffs,
fair.
But they looked like they were going to, like, people were. Like, reputable people were saying the Wolves were going to win 50 games, 45 games, make the playoffs.
Name names, Tim Bontemps.
Tim Bontemps, Washington Post.
No, and Britt said 47.
Yeah, I said 46.
I said 46, most definitely. Guilty.
So a lot of us thought this, so I'm trying to stay more realistic this year, although I think the jumps in improvement will probably
continue. If you want something to read, Britt actually specifically compared the end of last season to the beginning of this season, looking at the same amount of player, same amount of games, different coach, pretty similar players. So my question is, regardless of how they finish, or does it matter how they finish, they have to invest in the bench next year, right? Tibbs has to go out and get players.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I think making go ahead.
I think the bench should be reevaluated if all of a sudden Tom Thibodeau is going to give Brandon Rush 20 minutes a game, right?
Yeah. For sure.
And especially, and if he tinkers with the starting lineup in any way?
I would be shocked.
If that happened?
No, I'm going to add to what you were saying Brandon Rush, because I think it would mean Shabazz gets fewer minutes. Someone would get fewer minutes.
And that's why Shabazz didn't play
I'd be shocked if a small trade regarding or involving a bench player doesn't happen by the trade deadline.
Is there anyone on this team, aside from the big three, that another team wants? And Dunn, you're not trading Dunn.
Ooh, that's a good question.
I'm sure a team would want Rubio. I don't think he's the one that would go. I just think Shabazz is getting traded. That's where I'm at. I think he's going to get traded.
I agree.
Right
I just,
the deadline.
Does he have more value in the offseason than now?
Well, I think he's a free agent.
He's a restricted.
Oh, right.
He's a restricted. They're not going to hold on to him. He'll be a restricted free agent.
What do you get back from him? Do you have an idea?
Not much.
Just not much.
A marginal bench player.
You don't even get anything much back because the team isn't even assured. Well, actually, no, that's wrong.
Some random low-end playoff team in the West or the East, really, that needs a little scoring bump would give up random defensive player that Tibbs would love X, I think, in a trade. And I think that's something that might happen. That's just a guess. I could be totally wrong. I've been wrong before. But it just seems like something Tibbs would do. Shabazz just doesn't strike me as a Tibbs player.
I think it's good that for his value that he's becoming a restricted free agency, because any team that really covets him and is really willing to pick up the phone and be like, Tibbs, yo, we like this Shabazz Muhammad guy. We like that he's a restricted free agent, so we can match any potential deal that comes to him in the off season, they'll have a better chance at retaining him because he isn't hitting unrestricted free agency. So he does have that going for him. Whereas if he was becoming an unrestricted free agent, and they would have no guarantee of retaining him, or there was no guarantee that he would sign there again, wherever he would potentially go in the instance that there's a trade, he would have less value. Where are we at on time?
41 is since we started recording.
All right, I want to talk about one more thing. Tom, admittedly, I think you're an idiot.
Thank you.
For wanting to bring Zach LaVine off the bench. Tim, would you agree?
An idiot?
Yeah, I'm just being melodramatic. Cause
no, I don't.
Going back to...
I can see a scenario where that's a good idea.
Ooh, I like that.
Going back to one of the very first Locked On Wolves that I took over, we've been back and forth on this idea many, many times.
Big epic battle.
I don't think you're an idiot, obviously.
That is harsh.
Broke my heart.
I think you're a very smart, educated person. Yay. Who would not hit on his little sister's friends at a bar. and it occurred to me about 15 minutes ago that my grandma listens to these.
It occurred to me before the podcast, I just didn't say anything.
Dude, yeah. That is a good friend
right
there, actually. Oh, God. Where was I going with that? Before the season, I will admit, before Zach LaVine started doing all the stuff, I thought it was a good idea to play Brandon Rush at the three with Wiggins and Ricky Rubio.
Britt's on board with you. Same wavelength.
I predicted before the season started that the starting five was going to be Rubio, Rush, Wiggins, Towns, Aldridge.
See, and I like it more. I like that take more in hindsight because of all of the ball handling they're having Wiggins do, especially at the end of games.
Yep.
Brandon Rush, not that great of a ball handler, not known for his ball handling. But Britt will argue that, and I think, Tom, you've asked this before, if LaVine and Wiggins are in any way redundant on the floor together.
Yep.
I'm not willing to go that far.
No, absolutely not.
Because they're obviously different players, and redundancy, I don't know, it's a very...
Or if you're going to have any redundancy, two high-scoring players is fine, right?
The way they score is completely different.
Can you elaborate on that, though? That's an important point.
Catch and shoot versus post up, cut, slash.
Yeah, Wiggins is a much worse spot up shooting player.
He got off to a hot start to start the year. He's come back down to earth a little bit. Last night he was insane, but for the most part, he's going to get his buckets. Slashing to the rim, that spin move, posting up, the occasional catch and shoot, I'd say it's 70%. That first part, maybe 30, even 20% on catch and shoot. I think it's almost flipped for LaVine, which is why they complement each other pretty well, I think, in the starting lineup.
I can see why they would look redundant based on just the eye test. And I do think it would be worth looking up, sorting by date, the amount of post-up opportunities Wiggins had last year in comparison to this year, because I do think that number is much, much less this year compared to last year. But with LaVine and Wiggins being redundant, I can see why people would look that way, because the offense is predicated around side screen rolls, you know, pick and roll starting at the arc and with penetration. And yeah, I don't need to go any further into that point because it's worth exploring and possibly writing a post. Who knows? We're talking about in future episodes.
Zach, write something, please, on the site.
I know.
Please.
I have to. That's a good note to end on, don't you think, Tim?
I've got a couple other notes that we could end on, but I don't know.
No, throw them out there.
Well,
throw them
out
there.
You can't just do that.
No, we shouldn't.
No, we should.
No, we shouldn't.
About last night, go on. Is that what you were referring to? We gotta wrap it up. We started it about last night. We gotta end it that way.
Tim, drop something good, and then we'll cover the game tomorrow.
Okay,
and talk.
The other guest at my apartment did not sleep in my room, by the way.
I'm sorry, Grandma Bennett.
It's Grandma Haugen.
To be clear, it's a girl I've been seeing. It's not like someone I met at the bar.
We'd be more proud of you if it was the latter, I think.
Sorry, Grandma Haugen.
Anyway, no, nothing happened.
Good.
She was, dude.
Hopefully Kevin Lynch doesn't listen to this podcast.
No. By the way, yeah, no.
Like, he doesn't, right? There's no way.
He doesn't even have Twitter, I don't think.
Yeah.
Post-production is going to be, anyway.
And I still have to do that long video game
one.
Oh,
and I have to drive you. God damn it.
You don't have to drive me. Tom could take me.
I'll take him, Tim.
Good. I need to go home and I need to grab some stuff. I'm coming back. Oh, I told you, I'm living with you this weekend.
Yeah, he's moving in. It's getting serious.
Yeah.
Our noted
chemistry. This is
how many people do you think max you could put in that apartment?
Have you seen my apartment?
I've dropped you off at it.
Oh, it's. I mean,
like if he had a party, how many people could comfortably sleep there?
Yes.
Or just sleep there.
No.
I had Fenelon, Muggsy, Naylor, me. My roommate wasn't there, but we very easily could have had Tim there.
Yeah, I didn't stay.
It could comfortably sleep five. It's a pretty big living space.
There's two couches.
There's two couches. I have the cot.
The roommate's been gone, so there's
the cot behind the couch.
Yeah.
There's the guest bed, for lack of a better word. My roommate's been out of town for like 2 weeks.
He still has my backpack and sweatpants.
Yeah, he's bitter about that.
I want my sweatpants. Anyway, those are my nighttime sweat. Those are like my jammies.
Anyway.
I just said jammies on the pod.
This has been the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're going to go back into personal life discussion in a minute, but thank you for listening. Alex is her name. It's not her name. Yeah, it is.
Yes, it is her name. What are you saying?
I was going to come up with a moniker because we
just timestamp this and then cut it off and he's going to do it again.
Timestamp that.
It's not like she'll ever listen to this podcast.
No, she won't. But I don't think listeners, any listener who wants to do their due diligence.
We're back.
Sandy doesn't work.
Not Sandy.
I'm not even going to edit this. Her name's Alex.
fair enough.
Short for Alexandria, I'm sure.
Alexandra.
Alexandra, not a city in northern Minnesota. She's like, I don't want to go out. I have brunch in the morning. A, brunch is for hangovers.
Who told you that? True. Who told you that?
Roxanne!
There it is.
We should get a soundbite for that.
We should get a lot of soundbites. In fact, if you could teach me how to program those.
Actually, from where you live, Grandview Grill, great hangover brunch.
Good to know.
It's on the other side of the river.
Apparently, Hell's Kitchen does bottomless mimosas, by the way.
Who told you about that?
Roxanne!
I was going to say, you can see your buddy Suhan over there.
Anyway, she's like, I don't know if I want to go out. Zach, take a shot with me.
I don't take shots. Just for the... Like, I just don't.
Zach, take a shot with me. We get to Burrito Loco. Shouts to Burrito Loco. We get to Burrito Loco. The whole time we're there, we're in the car, we're in the lift, doing things responsibly. The whole time we're there, she's excited about a tequila shot.
She loves tequila shots, man.
Oh, that's terrible.
Well, not finally. We get there. The first thing we do is Tim goes to the bar, orders two tequila shots, brings them back. Thank you for those.
Yeah, they weren't for me. I got myself a beer.
Oh, but you drank some. I'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, continue. Is this all on the pod?
This is all on the pod.
Oh, hell yeah.
We do the salt on the little back of the hand. You know,
we got the whole bit.
Cheers, cling. I do mine. Barely keep it down.
Oh, you were struggling, man.
No, I kept it down like a champion. This chick drinks a centimeter.
Oh, hold on. Before that, she licks the salt, sits there for a second, dumbfounded, looking at her drink. And then starts to take it, struggles.
Oh, that's the worst.
It's maybe, a centimeter.
So we divvy up the remaining, because it was a hefty shot. It was no joke.
Yeah, it was a legit shot. It was a college shot.
We divvy up the remainder of her shot into two shot glasses. She pours hers into Tim's beer.
That was my move. I've done that.
Is it your move?
It's my move. It's patented.
Your move is
move is lame. Actually, it wasn't that bad.
And then she tries to do the same with mine, misses, and it goes on the table. This marks the end of the Lockdown Wolves podcast.
That was so lame.
Oh, man. So, yeah, anyway. Tom, are you going to file your story from Target Center?
Yes.
All right, well.
I'll have post-game stuff. Plus, we'll do a podcast tomorrow.
Check it out at coldomaha.com. Tom, if you want to buy me a beer later, I'll meet you after the game.
Oh, God, I'm scared. We should do this.
All right.
Get Jim Pete and Dave Vance on it.
We're doing it like that. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I was just looking at a tweet of Thabo Cephalosha said goodbye to Kyle Korver, but we're not an NBA-centric podcast. We'll talk about that on Wolves Wire tomorrow. For Tim Fakeless, City Pages contributor, a Wolf Among Wolves bloggist, for Tom Schreier, co-founder and contributor and reporter at coldomaha.com, my name is Zachary Bennett. So long.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
With the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.